Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Ash Wednesday, the first day of Lent. And it reminds us of this ancient custom of applying ashes to a person or worshiper's brow, calling to mind the word of God to our first parents after they had sinned. "You are dust," God said, "and to dust you shall return." The ashes of Lent remind us that the wages of sin is death. But this is not the last word. This is a Lenten journey with Jesus. This evening, let's walk with Jesus. We walk with Jesus in Peter's shoes. We'll see in Peter's words and deeds a picture of ourselves, of our sin, of our need for the ashes of repentance. Tonight, each one of us must say, it's Jesus, Peter, and me. And it's all about pride. The footsteps of Peter take us into the bitter consequences of sinful pride. But we're not going to stop there. We're going to move on to the cross. And at the cross, sinful pride, Peter's and ours, is forgiven and overcome in the mercy of Christ. It's Thursday evening now. Our Lord has just eaten the Passover meal with his disciples in the upper room. And after singing a hymn, they set out for the Mount of Olives. Along the way, Jesus speaks of things to come with this ominous warning: "You will all fall away from me," Jesus speaks. This warning. And he says, "You will all fall away, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." But Peter, not really realizing exactly what the full significance of all this is, confidently replies, "Though they all fall away," Peter says, "because of you, I will never fall away." You have to marvel in Peter's confidence. I mean, it's right there. But you take a second look at that confidence, and it reveals that it is not confidence born of faith. It's an overconfidence, spiritual pride, and conceit. To Peter, it seems like it's very possible that the rest of the disciples might fall away. But he would never fall away. Maybe his prestige is getting on to his head. He's one of the three favorite disciples of Jesus, the closest to Jesus. He, together with James and John, were with Jesus at the Transfiguration. He had made a wonderful confession. You remember that confession? "You are the Christ," he said, "the Son of the living God." How could he fall away with a statement like that? How could he? Perhaps others would, but certainly not Peter. "No way, I'm not going to fall away from that." Jesus' warning to Peter becomes even more explicit. "Truly, I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Oh, the proud heart. That proud heart of his is hard and calloused. And Peter said to him, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." Is Peter's attitude somehow mirrored in your life and mine? We have to kind of take a look at ourselves and kind of ask our question, is there maybe a deep, shameful sin in your life? Is there a blemish on your reputation? Are there skeletons in your closet? Others may be guilty of certain sins. Others may be negligent in spiritual matters. Others may be lacking faith and Christian character. But not me. No way, not me. I would never fall away. That's my line too. And isn't it yours? We would never fall away from Jesus. In all or one of these ways, Peter comes to life in us. Again and again, scriptures condemn sinful pride. We read in Proverbs, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Here, the proud Pharisee in the temple, you remember this one, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like the tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes to all that I get. Well, he goes home after that, and what happens? He goes home not with God's favor, but with his judgment. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, Jesus said. St. Paul warns us, let anyone who thinks that he stands, take heed lest he fall. Our fall is just coming up. It's our next step, maybe. If we rely on our own strength, we can't do that. If we imagine that there is no danger for us, if we think we are untouchable to Satan, the wages of sin, of sinful pride, is death. We need the ashes of repentance. Jesus gives us the answer to sinful pride and really every sin right here in our text. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. And then he goes on to say, but after I am raised up, I will go before you in Galilee. Jesus is the shepherd. He is the shepherd who seeks the lost. He is the shepherd who searches for even one lost sheep. He is the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. He is on the way to the cross. There he goes, and where God will smite him, will smite the shepherd with wrath and judgment over our sinful pride, over every shameful or sin that has ever marred our thoughts, words, and deeds. And there at the cross, the shepherd becomes sin. He becomes sin for us. Oh, the flock was scattered when Jesus was arrested and condemned. All the disciples forsook him, and they fled. They disappeared. But the flock will be gathered again, because the cross and death are not the last word. Not the last word. The loving, caring, redeeming shepherd returned from death to gather his disciples, and they are the redeemed and forgiven sheep of the flock. We are very much in this. The Lenten ashes of repentance, they humble us. They humble us. We come here to God's house and confess, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. But repentance, now, you have to think about this just a little bit. But repentance is not just knowing our sin. It's not just knowing our sin. It's knowing Jesus Christ. And with glad and believing hearts, we hear and believe the absolution. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I, a called, ordained servant of the Word, forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And we come to the Lord's table and hear the Savior's word spoken the very night the events of our text took place. This is my body, he says, which is given for you. Then drink of it all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. The shepherd who gave his life for the sheep now gives his life to the sheep. Our sinful pride, my friends, is forgiven. It is totally forgiven. And now we are free to live for Christ. This is the story of Jesus, Peter, and each one of you. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen.